And now your speaker is George King.
I want to thank the eldership here and whoever was involved in inviting me to come and do this tonight. Certainly we know that God's love is so much extended to us that we ought to, in turn, love Him. The theme for this week is the banner over us is love. And we all know what love is, and I want y'all to feel free, smile whenever you can. Amen. And when we leave here tonight, we should be filled with a certain amount of love that you didn't have before. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, when the word love is used or spoken of, every time it's used, it's always have a reference to giving. Now, if you love God like we should, and I know God loves us because God gave His Son, you don't give something that is a part of you unless you love the person that you're giving it to. Somebody say, well, George, I don't always agree with what that person's doing. It doesn't really matter. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. What if God waited for us to get it all together? I want you to listen to me tonight, man. What if God waited for you to get it all together, all those back in under the law, and then turn around and send His Son? Oh, His Son would still be living, would never die. Amen. So I'm saying that love is not part of the human being, his intellectual part, that have a distinct, a forceful, a reality of understanding that we are humans. So God has instilled into us a mind of sympathy that we can relate to one another. That's why God gave His Son, but He really cared for the people. You know, in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, you'll find a story here about Ruth and Naomi. And in this book, you'll find where I make the story short because you probably know it as well as I do, where Ruth married Naomi's son, and after a while, the two sons that she had died, and then she had two brother-in-laws who were left. And especially Ruth. Ruth was the one that Naomi really felt for. But due to the custom that was in the land that day, Naomi said to Ruth, I'm going to let you go and do what you wish. You can go back to your homeland, whatever you want to do, because right now my son is dead, your husband is dead, so you don't have to stay here if you don't want to. Now listen to you. Now I would to God that everybody in the world could be together, understand each other like Ruth and Naomi. She says, in a matter of fact way, don't send me back home. Let me stay with you. Because she said, now, where you go, I'll go. Where you live, don't say it's in lodges, that's the same thing. Where you live, I live. And your people shall be my people. And your God shall be my God. Isn't that something? Wouldn't it be wonderful today in the world that if we could all come together and say, wherever you go, I'll go. Now I'm talking about in the spiritual sense, man. Don't misunderstand it. Where you live, I live. Your God will be my God. My God, your God, and
on any day, we shall rise together and we'll all go to the same heaven together. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But you know, we can live it like that if we study the Word of God. John chapter 6 says, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. Listen now, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Don't you want to go home with Jesus? I know Vacation Bible School is a little different than the regular preaching, but don't you want to go home with Jesus? If I were to ask you tonight, I'm not going to do it now. Don't get nervous. What if I ask everyone in here, Brother Charlie, to hold up your hand? Don't do it now. And say, how many of you want to go to heaven? What would you do? Well, look at me strange. I know what I would do. I hold up my hand. I want to go. Even if I didn't make it, I still want to go. Amen. I am so that God's love. Paul says this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then John come around by the lamp of Christ says, if we walk in the light, 1 John 1 7, if we walk in the light as he who Christ is in the light, we have, that's all of us together, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. I tell you what, have you ever thought about the pain and the agony that Christ bore on the cross? Have you thought about, I just heard today some fellow got his hand cut off. So sorry to hear about that. But you know, considering the pain that Jesus went through, there is no comparison. Because Jesus did it for you and me. He did it because he loved this world. When I say this world, I'm not talking about trees and grass and whatever elements out there that you can see and touch with your hand. I'm talking about each other. God loves us. Why did God love us so much? Because we are part of God. What do you say, preacher? We are a part of God. Why did you say that? Well, now, when I go back to the book of Genesis, I find that when God made man, he created man from the dust of the earth, formed him in the image of himself. Somebody said, well, preacher, I've never seen God. Well, I haven't either. So what is God? According to John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. But we'll go back to that time. God formed man in the image of himself, in the likeness of himself, and while man was lying there, I suppose, on the ground, in the image of God himself, God breathed into man's nostril the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Why did God do it? Because he became enough. For the soul of man, for his creation, for the human race, for mankind, for the fleshly being, in the image of himself. That's why John 3 again, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And when you give something, God expects something in return. And yes, we've got to learn to love God with all our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with all of our beings. The only way we can ever go to heaven is love God like God loved us. And God gave his Son for the sins of the world. We talk about the different types of love. We won't try to go in there tonight because we don't have time. But there's one thing I want to mention. Sometimes you find the word agape love. And that's one of the strongest love that you'll find in the world. Of course, recently in the newspaper or the TV media, radio, you heard last year when it was when this couple were married. Listen to this man. They were married and they decided, and they had a young child, and they decided to go up into the mountain to take a trip. And while they were there, the storms came and the snow began to drift up, and they were maybe 50 miles away from any kind of a resort, anything. But they got stuck up there. And because of this, they had to leave their car and go find shelter somewhere. And the man, the husband, loving his wife and his child so much, found a cave whereby he could put them, because they had to walk around and try to find a way back and couldn't do it. See, now this is love. He stuck them in a little hole and said, listen, I've got to go get help. Not knowing whether he'll make it, but I'm going to get help. So he put them in a little cave, and as they were there, just bearing the cold, the intense cold, the child and the mother, he starts out on a journey. And according to the statistic that they gave, he says, by some almost 50 miles away, walking in the snow, really didn't know where he was, but he tried to go for help. This is what you call love. His hands begin to hurt, feet begin to ache, kept on going. And make a long story short, when he did, finally did find someone to help him, and got the mother and the baby, remembering all those twists and turns that he left when he went back to get them. And when he had gotten to the hospital, somewhere, somebody said, they just can't understand. They couldn't understand why this man made it this far in the intense cold. Hands of almost just froze, feet froze, and this man almost delirious, but yet he kept it going and kept it fighting the snow and the cold and finally made it. Somebody said, it was love. And that's what it's all about. God loved this world so that He gave the most precious thing He had on earth, and that was His Son. Suppose we were required to give our Son. Oh, Brother King, we can't. Oh, I love our Son. God loved His Son too. But you know, when you give something, it's going to cost you something. We got to learn to appreciate the goodness of God. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here tonight. Paul said, it is in Him that we move and have our very beings. Love is something so great, so precious, so needed in our world today. When I look at all these young people here, I may be drifting from my lesson, but when I look at all these young people, and I thought about myself when I was growing up as a young boy in my home, way back out in the country. And I tell you something, brother, time has really changed when I grew up. Y'all can look at my head and my hair and tell I'm getting on up there. So, but you be smiling, some of you are too. Amen. But I tell you, in my day, in my time, my mother told me something, when my father told me something, one thing is sure, I didn't offer back. Because if I did, you see, I knew what would happen. Nowadays, you say, you're going to meddling, George, call it what you want to. But let me tell you something, the trend has changed. Our younger people, they're good, they're fine, but it's going to take some parental guidance. Amen. We won't run our young people down and say this about it, but you know what? We are sometimes the cause of what our young people are doing. We're not setting an example. We're not showing the right kind of love. You see, love protects, not let go. I'm going to use this illustration. Just a few weeks ago, I saw a little girl had a little puppy. A little puppy came away and ran out in the road. And she ran out there almost in front of a car and grabbed a little puppy. Mother said, "You could have got me run over." She said, "I know, but I love a puppy." Did you get the point? If we love like we should, church, if we love like we should, families, if we love like we should, mothers and fathers, when our children get rebellious, a little spanking that will hurt. Amen. Somebody say, "You old timey." I know it. We need to go back. Because I see too much happening in our world today. Every time you turn on the television, on the radio, some child is shooting another child. Somebody robbing somebody. It's dangerous to go out there on Crawford parking lot and sit down a while. Amen. Somebody said, "Joy, I don't want you back no more." Well, I thank you. But I tell you what, there has to be some kind of a law. You know, where there's no law, there's no fear. Amen. That's right. Where there's no law, there's no fear. And we have forgotten what God has said because we have dropped love out of this family unit. Paul said in Ephesians 6, "Bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." What do you say, Paul? Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Well, what does that mean? It means to bring them up right teaching. If they need it, whipping, give them a whipping. It's not going to hurt them. Psychology and the psychological thinking of the folk today, some of these professors say, "Now, well, you wrong the child, if you hit him, it makes him, it bend his mind." Well, I find out something has been bent, and I don't know what. The old saying goes, "Spare the rod." That's not a scripture now. "Spoil the child." Amen. See, we grow up in an environment where we are very lax on discipline and training. Some folk train their horses better than they do the children. Amen. Some of you got some walking horses, and I've been to the fairground. I went over to the shovel one time over a gospel meeting. While in that meeting, I had a chance to go over to the fairground and watch the walking horse race, or whatever you call it. And those horses were stepping. You talking about stepping high? They were stepping, their head laid back, their ears sticking straight up. They were dressed like they're going to sit down in the back. You know why they do that? Because they've been trained. Isn't that right? You know what I'm talking about, brother and sister. They've been trained. I know a horse just won't do that for the tiny. They've been trained. But you take a little old coat out of the stable, don't never train. Just put him out there, let him go on his own and see what happens. He just, oh, he wouldn't, you know, they say, "Take him out the field, he's not doing anything." He's been trained. Some of you got little pet dogs. Got them in the house, amen. You know what I'm talking about? You potty training. You mean you say that in the church? If you read your Bible, you got more than that coming out of it. Oh yeah, you potty training. He needs to go out, he's gonna scratch on the door. You train him. And he knows what to do. But look at our children. I'm not saying they're not good. I'm not blaming them either. Who are you going to blame? Me and you. You're the parents. A woman had an 11-year-old daughter. This is a fact. And she couldn't make her daughter go to school. Couldn't make her put on the right clothes to wear to school. She said, "I just can't do nothing with her." Somebody asks you, "What are you?" "I'm a mother." Don't that sound strange? If she was a mother, she ought to act like a mother. Amen. See, a child will only go as far as you allowed him to go, or her to go. Isn't that right? I knew when I was growing up, I know what to do and what not to do. If I did do something wrong, my mother and father would know about it. But one thing for sure, I didn't get in their face and holler and brag about it. If I did, then I wouldn't be able to sit down the next morning. Amen. What I'm saying is, there's something lacking. Our society's changing from the word love. And we're going wild over permissiveness. Everything is made. You know, even our TVs now, if you don't have the words of cursing words and bad words, you don't want to listen to it. Amen. In 2 Chronicles, that's one of my favorite scriptures, 7, verse 14. Listen to what God said. If my people, and we are God's people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and that's what they need to do, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will heal the land. Somebody's wondering why today, why are we having so much problems in the world? We've forgotten God. We have forgotten God in our homes. We have forgotten God in our schools. And in some churches, we have forgotten God. We do what we want to do. We preach what we want to preach just to please ourselves and know what God says. Amen. Romans chapter 10, 1. Brethren, my heart desire, listen to Paul, and pray to God for Israel that they might be saved. Paul said, I drive the record. Listen now, I drive the record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. What are they doing, Paul? They're going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Nothing is happening today. Again, we go to 1 Timothy 4:1. The scripture says, for the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, and that's now, some shall depart from the faith. And I see brethren leaving the church all the time over little nothing because somebody is preaching the truth and they're saying it's too hard on us, so they want to go and find a place where somebody will kind of water down the truth. Please, being ear ticklers, rather than listen to the Word of God. For the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seduce the spirit and the doctrine of devils. Amen. We got too many. You don't know how to do a lot of things. When you love someone, you're going to chastise them. Isn't that right? Amen. I said it myself. Somebody said, well, I don't think it's so nice sometimes always. You know, you don't have to spank your kids no more. Just talk to them. They're not talking, they'll always do it. Amen. Some of you understand. Some of you back there that's over 50 know what I'm talking about. So when you was growing up, you knew what it was all about. You see, robbing and stealing is not going to get it. When we train our children, it takes love to do that. When we chastise our children, it takes love to do this kind of thing. If you didn't love, you let them do what they want to do. Come back when they get ready. Go when they get ready. Because you really don't care no way. But if you really care about your children, and any, not only your children, but any person, you're going to tell them or her when they're wrong, even if they don't want to listen. Amen. That goes for the church. The elders were required to oversee the flock. Somebody said it's going like, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Number one, look at yourself. And to all of the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Why do this? Paul, somebody said that the Bible says this, because if you don't do this, something's going to happen after a while. He said, for my departure shall grieve and ruin if it is among you, not spare the flock. For that shall arise near of your own selves, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And that's happening in our world today. Amen. It shouldn't be, but that's Scripture. It's going to happen. It is happening. And the elders have a responsibility, the preacher has a responsibility, the family unit has a responsibility, the children have a responsibility. Well, I have done a lot of weddings. Some of you know I've done a lot of weddings. I've done a lot of funerals too, and I don't know. Amen. I even married my own daughter. Don't take that literal now. When I say I married her, I mean I didn't marry her. I married her to somebody else. Amen. But when I find people come to me sometimes and say, I want to get married. You know, you've got to sit down and talk to them. That's a serious thing. Amen. But you know, some of them not ready. They think they're ready. They come, they be holding hands. You know, just so strange. They walk in my door, in my house, stand up in front of in the middle of the living room. They be holding hands, looking at each other and just grinning. I say, I wonder how long we're going to be grinning. Amen. But when you keep talking, they're ready to go. Do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? Oh, my God. To love and to cherish in sickness and in health, forsaking all others, so long as you boast in them. I do. You know, and the girl don't know how to cook. Now that's a responsibility for the women. Amen. The women are supposed to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Now this has to do with love. So I'm broadening my lesson. Amen. The older women are supposed to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Now, the problem is sometimes that maybe you haven't had much experience either. Yeah, but you haven't married. I didn't say you wasn't married. But I said love. There's a difference between marrying and loving. A lot of folks married. There ain't much love there sometimes, but you're married. You know what I'm talking about. Remind me of this. This couple, this is said to make a point that God always has a last say. There was this couple who did get married, and he told the woman that when I get married, I'm the head of the house. I'm the boss. Well, back in the Western days, you know, when he was riding buggies. So they got in the buggy, and the horse was tied to the buggy, and they just, yep. They're walking down the road, and the horse stopped. That man got out and pulled the horse's face and said, that's what woman time. He got back in the buggy and drove down the road again. No horse stopped again. He got back in his buggy and says, that's two times. Wife kept looking at him. Got in the buggy again. The horse walked down the road. Got in the buggy the third time. No horse stopped again. He got out and had his gun on his side. Took his gun and shot that horse right between the eye. No horse fell over dead. The wife said, what you do that for? He said, that's one time. You know, sometimes God has got to make his point. You see, God always has a right to say. God means what He says. Jesus said, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that buildeth his house up on the rock." And when the storms come, we're not talking about like the rain out there, but it compasses that. When the storm comes, the wind blows and beat up on the house, it fell not. Why, Joel? Because it was founded upon a solid foundation. That's why it didn't fall. When trouble comes in our area, in our town, maybe in our homes, in our churches, on our jobs, if we are steadfast in Christ, we're not going to fall. We're not so easy to run away. Some folks can't take nothing. You got to learn to endure as a good soldier, because you are a soldier in God's army. You're a soldier of the cross. God's man of love is of us. God so loves. We got to learn to love. Not just love, we got to learn to so love. There's a difference between just plain old ordinary love and so loving. Isn't that right? Amen. Some of you love to eat. Some of us love to eat. And when you get something, you know, though they had diabetes, you've been eating all this good food so long, when the doctor puts you on a strict diet and you get fed how it follows, you cheat on yourself. Hide from your wife or your husband, then you slip in there and get something cheap when you know you're not supposed to have it. Who do you think you're hurting? You're not hurting them. They don't have the diabetes. You're the one who got it. Amen. So what I'm saying is, if you're in your sins and you die like that, and you say, "Well, I don't know what I do with those folks, or I'm not going to obey the word of God. I'm having too much of a good time." Who do you think you're hurting? You're not hurting God. He's already got it made. God already got it happen. Isn't that right? You're not hurting Christ. Christ in the world says, "Come." He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul." In the book of Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedient by the things which he suffered, being made perfect, he, Christ, became the author of eternal life unto all them that obey him." God, banner of love, is over us. And we ought to learn to appreciate what God has done for us. You know, our community would be better if everybody were Christians. Our schools would be better if everybody were Christians. Our homes would be better if everybody were Christians. Amen. You see, that's what it's all about. Let's go farther away. In 1 John 3, 17, look at what John says through the Holy Spirit. "Whosoever," and you might want to mark that in the book, "whosoever hath this world's goods," now this is talking about love, "and closing up his mouth of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" You see, you have to learn to have a certain kind of attitude before God will accept you as a new person in the way. Paul said, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things," hey, you know, "all things," the thing that you used to do, sometime, the way that you used to pay, sometimes, the places that you used to go, sometimes, all things have passed away before all things become new. So I'm saying tonight that love binds us together. It don't make a difference who you are, how big you are, how poor you are. Love binds us together. It don't make a difference whether you be black or white. Love binds us together. Whether you be old or young, love binds us together. Whether you're male or female, love binds us together. Whether you be Jew or Gentile, Paul says, love binds us together. That's what it's all about. Love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Isn't that something? It's a blessing. You know, that's a particular scripture in the Bible, in the book of Corinthians. You might want to go over and look at it. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. Some people call this the love chapter. And I guess you can refer to it like that. It is a love chapter. And Paul says, though I speak. When you get there, you might want to look at it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Paul said, if I could use the best language in the world, fluently speaking every word that I might say, whatever it might be, I can speak Latin, German, whatever. Oh, I'm just so full of knowledge, and I can do anything with language. That's all right. That's all right. Nothing wrong with it. Then he goes on to say, and have not charity. And now, when you break it down to the whole word, that comes out in love. I am become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift, listen to what Paul says, of prophecy. What do you mean? I can foretell what's going to happen tomorrow, man. I tell you what. Be like Daniel. Be like Joseph. Be like all God's men back yonder in the mall who was fortunate enough to have this capability of understanding all mystery because God gave it to them. But if even I could tell you all of this knowledge and don't have enough, it still profits me nothing. And understand all mystery. I can tell you how many thousand miles to the moon, to the sun, even tell you what the moon weighs. Oh, I can just tell you everything. Every grain of gravel on the ground, I can explain the material that lies in it. Every material that's created in the world, I can do that. I can do the best material in the world. Vital airplane, I can fly to the moon, make my own wings. Then I don't have enough. It profits me nothing. And though I have all things, so I can remove mountains, don't need no more bulldozers. I was on the hilltop to look at the mountain. I was on the hill across the road from where I live. Say, man, move. The mountain start moving. That's what you call faith, isn't it? But even if I could do that, I could say to this building, I want you to move over 10 feet and it be done. And one man spoke to the sun. And the storm stood up there in the cloud, and he prayed to God and said, God, if you're with me, call the sun to stand still. That's not enough, he said. I want you to move the sun backward, because it's no small thing for you to move it forward. And he spoke to God, and God obeyed him for it. He called the sun to turn back 10 degrees. You know what? That's faith. But if I got the faith that causes them to walk and get up and walk like a man, I could do it. But if I don't have love, I am still nothing. That's how important love is. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love will hide a multitude of sins. Love will cause us to be brothers and sisters in the Lord. Love will hold us together. Love is an anchor for the soul. Just like a boat on the drifting waters. And it cannot be still, but you drop that anchor down. That boat would shut down this rock, but it won't go anywhere. Love can hold you in place in God's sight. That's what love can do. But until we can formulate, until we can be able to engraft that love within our minds, it never does no good. You can look afar off and see whatever you want to see, but until it comes into our mind, it never does no good. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say. Love is something that will keep us straight. Love is something that will keep us on the move for the Lord. God is love. God is love. And the best thing we can have today is love. I know it's my time to quit now. Let me say this one thing. God is like the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. He knows everything. Even though we can't see God, my saying goes, He's like scotch tape. Even though you can't see Him, He's always here. God bless you for coming. We'll wait for the kids to come in, and then we extend the invitation.